Hello out there. How we doing, folks? I know this is a pretty crazy sound that you're hearing right now. Baseball boys are back. We're doing another episode.
We're back and we're ready to go.
We haven't done one of these in probably, what, 5 months?
At least, yeah.
It's been a long time. A lot of you are probably wondering why we didn't do one during this magical Royals run that...
Superstitious.
Yes, exactly. We didn't want to break up the vibes in terms of the run. I wore the same pair of underwear about 7 days in a row.
This kid had one of the dirtiest playoff beards of all time. He looked like a lumberjack.
If you didn't see it, you really missed out. And if you did see it, you also missed out because it was also very concerning.
It was a lose-lose situation.
It took me about an hour. Yes, that's the epitome of a lose-lose situation. But... we've kind of taken about a week here to digest what's gone down and recap the 2014 Kansas City Royals season. I'm not sure really we can still put it into words yet. I don't know if we've had enough time.
Magical. It was just magical.
I mean, yeah, Game 7 was tough, but I mean, after a couple days, you kind of were like, wow, we made the World Series.
Imperfect ending to a perfect season in my mind almost.
That's a great way to put it. If you could use one word to describe it, if you can, what is it?
I'm going to go with titillating.
Titillating?
Titillating.
That's a good one. That's a good one. That's a hot word, right? From high school?
Oh, yeah. Straight out of the books. But it was titillating. It was magical. It was exhilarating. And half the time, I didn't believe what was going on.
I don't think anyone did, man.
No.
Like, okay, so...
Who saw Moose hitting 5 jacks in the postseason?
Nah.
Who saw Hosmer breaking out like he did? I know the defense was good in the regular season, but my God, it was unbelievable in the playoffs.
It was the best defense I think I've ever seen in the playoffs to anyone.
And this team not only made it to the World Series Game 7 with, you know, all these young studs, but Shields was terrible.
Shields was bad.
Yeah, and we still swept through the first... what, 8 games?
Yeah, won the first 8 games, set a major league record for most wins by a playoff team consecutively.
Yep.
I still don't really know if I can step back and really comprehend what happened this October. Let's go back to where it all began in the wild card game.
I watched that game over yesterday. Still couldn't believe what was going on some of the plays. Brandon Finnegan, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Huge for us in that game. I kind of forgot about how massive
time
he was.
Last time we did a podcast, Brandon Finnegan was pitching for TCU. Yep. So that shows you right there.
Yep, horny frogs.
The horny frogs, man. He was pitching in the College World Series for TCU. And just everyone in that game in particular kind of summed up what the Royals are.
Yeah, and
everyone contributed in some way.
The best thing is the way it ended. I mean, Salvador Perez coming up 0-for-5 on the night, 0-for-6.
0-for-5 with, I think, 4 strikeouts in the game.
And he just laces one.
Yeah.
Sneaks it by Josh Donaldson at third.
Reaches out, hits a ball that's 2 feet out of the strike zone.
And Christian Colon scores.
Yep, Christian Colon scores. Salvador Perez reaching for a ball 2 feet out of the zone. In the left-handed batter's box, somehow pulling a line drive down the left-field line past the best defensive third baseman in the game.
Not according to the Gold Glove.
That's true.
Kyle Seager got it.
I don't know.
That just goes to show you how big of a joke it is.
Yeah. We can get into some of the Gold Glove stuff and all the awards later, but this is just kind of – we just kind of wanted to get all the emotions out there. Probably not going to be too heavy on a lot of hardcore content in this episode. Sorry, y'all. But it's just kind of the culmination of the playoffs and our emotions throughout it because we haven't done one of these. So
we've got a lot of feelings, and y'all are going to hear about them.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to damage your psyches for a very long time. So get ready for that. So what top 3 moments in this postseason for you, what are they?
Oh, wow. I think in no particular order, these are just 3. I'm going to combine the first one. I'm going to go.
That's not allowed.
Oh, it is allowed, though. Moustakas and Hosmer, extra inning bombs in L.A.
Those were amazing.
That was incredible.
The Moose Bomb, though.
I called it. I called it there.
Yep. You did call it.
Second, I'll probably go with Eric Hosmer, wild card game, triple off the wall. That was one of the most exciting moments for me. And then third, wow. Probably just the culmination of all the Lorenzo Cain / Gerard Dyson / Nori Aoki plays in outfield.
Yeah. Lorenzo Cain, if any of you nationally didn't know who Lorenzo Cain was, A, you need to watch more Royals games.
Yeah.
B, I hope you know who he is now, because that guy is unbelievable. Some of the jumps he gets on some of those balls and the speed that he has.
Some of the best reads I've ever seen on an outfielder.
His route efficiency is awesome. It's so good. And he can hit a little bit, too. He can hit a lot, actually.
Oh, yeah. And I think he doesn't have a lot of power right now, but he's a big guy. He's got the frame. If, you know, he adds a little muscle, I think he could hit 10 to 15 jacks at the major league level.
I mean, I asked myself this earlier, and I think I know the answer for you, too. But would you sacrifice 20 points off of Lokane's batting average if you could add, like, 6 or 7 homers, be a 280 with 12 jacks guy in center?
Oh, yeah, because he's going to be playing Gold Glove D.
Yeah.
And stealing a ton of bases.
I think he can do that, dude. I think he could definitely do that, take that next step. It's just the boy. Okay, there's so much to digest with this. Salvador Perez, that's pretty bad postseason on the whole.
Overall,
had some big moments.
Came up clutch.
Eric Hosmer coming out partying for him.
Great, yeah, great postseason. This is the Eric Hosmer that we expected when we drafted him.
Yep.
Clutch performer, extra base power, great defense.
Yeah.
I think this postseason was massive for our young guys. Hosmer, especially, because of the season he had, wasn't too great. I think he'll take this postseason, and I think he'll come out next year and be this good in regular season.
Yeah, man. It's just like, if Hosmer next year doesn't do what we think he's going to do,
he's one of the weirdest players of all time.
I mean, I just don't think I think there's one thing that was missing with him, and that was like, A, the timing of his swing, which I think he figured it out.
And his confidence.
And his confidence, and he has both.
Yeah.
Going forward.
His swing in the postseason just looked so much prettier and so much more violent.
It looked explosive again.
Yeah,
man.
Very explosive and violent. Like, he was attacking fastballs high.
Yeah.
He was pulling balls. He just looked so much better at the plate, so much more confident.
Just the moment you were talking about with him in that game against the A's, he hit that ball probably 405 feet off the top of the wall, opposite field.
Yep.
It was nothing.
He had a couple of those opposite field hits.
Angel series, he had an opposite field home run.
Yeah, and then he extra inning home run, he pulled.
Crushed
it probably 400 feet at least.
Demolished that baseball.
He just looked really, really good.
He looked great. He looked awesome.
It was awesome to see because I was starting to lose some faith.
Yeah.
With him, but I still believe that he'll be.
Yeah.
A very good first baseman. Maybe not a superstar, but I think he'll be very good.
Very good. Yeah. Very like a 3-4 WAR guy. Pretty very above average. Nice and serviceable.
I could see him offensively. This is more on the lower scale, but to bring in some Cubby love here.
There it is.
A Mark Grace type. Not a ton of power. Mark Grace never hit for a ton of power, but, you know, 10 to 15, hopefully 15 or 20, but with good average, you know, a lot of doubles. I could see him turn into that.
And Mark Grace is one of the 7 or 8 best Cubs in franchise history. So if Eric Hosmer is Mark Grace, that's a great
Mark name. Grace with a little more pop, hopefully.
Yeah. Omar Infante, pretty bad postseason, but I think
nice World Series though.
Yeah,
pretty nice World Series.
He played really well against the Giants.
Yeah, he came up big when we needed him to, and that homer in Game 2 of the World Series.
Hunter Strickland threw a little hissy fit. That was fun for everyone.
It was great. Omar Infante, look, overall in the season, not a great season. He started off real hot, slumped badly towards the end, but I think that's a culmination of his injuries. And we played him a lot, man. Played him a lot. We should probably try to rest him a little bit more. That's why I think the utility infielder is definitely on the top of the list as far as free agent priorities.
I would agree.
Because we gotta rest Omar and Alcides more often.
Yeah, and Salvi.
Yeah, but especially, we gotta get a backup catcher. Yeah,
especially because Omar, you could just tell down the stretch he wasn't getting anything on his throws on pivots at second. Just wasn't hitting the ball with as much pop. And I think the time off in the offseason, he'll come back rejuvenated and have a better year next year.
I'm not too worried about second base. I think we know what we're going to get. It's going to be average play. We're not going to get outstanding. It's not going to be dreadful.
And that's better than what we've had for the last 15 years.
But we do need Omar to step up next year.
Yeah, I think he needs to be a little better.
Yeah.
I think he will.
Yeah. Especially in the on-base department.
Yeah.
He can't be below 300. No. He just can't.
No.
Omar came up big, though, in the World Series.
He had a nice – we were talking about it. Game 7, we were like, Omar Infante gets a couple hits in this game. Is he the World Series MVP? I think he might have been.
Statistically, he would have been up there.
Yeah.
He would have been in the top 5.
Definitely.
Which is high because there was so many contributors to this postseason run.
Yeah.
But going back to the breakdown, shortstop, Alcides, looked pretty darn good.
Had a nice postseason, man.
I'm telling you, he really likes this leadoff role. He's taken to it big time.
Yeah.
He's never going to be a great on-base guy.
No.
He's not going to take many walks, but he's going to get you hits, and he's going to play that defense at short. So.
And he can steal your bags.
Exactly, yeah, he's fast. Third base, Mike Moustakas had a very weird postseason. He didn't get a lot of hits, and he didn't get on base, but his hits were massive.
They were...
Five home runs in the postseason, which is the record. Royals' record.
Yep. He hung some majestic dong, man. Just majestic.
Incredible dongage.
Yeah, I would give Mike Moustakas' postseason grade an A.
Oh, yeah. Because I didn't expect anything out of him.
Absolutely
I expected
not.
Him to hit 200 with maybe a one home run.
Yeah.
If you would have asked me, you're going to play till Game 7 of the World Series, tell me Mike Moustakas' stats. I would have told you pretty dreadful stats.
Yeah. And he was great on defense, made an incredible catch
clutch,
in the Orioles
very,
game.
Very clutch, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that play?
Yes.
Running over to the rail, falling over? Jeter-esque.
Great play, dude.
That's Jeter-esque
That will
there.
Be on highlight reels for the next 100 years.
Easily, easily. That was one of the best plays I've ever seen.
An A for Mike Moustakas, I think, for sure.
I think this postseason bought him another year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so, too.
Which is... not great.
We'll
news.
See what he does with it.
I think he just needs to settle into something consistent.
Yeah.
So we
can
either get rid of him or leave. Hey, I'm gonna be honest. If he hits 230 next year, 20 to 25 jacks, great defense, I'll take it.
Yeah. No,
because
absolutely.
I think we could get a lot worse.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I mean, this team won 89 games.
He's kind of, you know, just like. A dirtbag play, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
He always looks like he's dirty.
Yeah.
His hair is always looks possibly greasy.
Oh yeah.
But I like him. His uniform's always dirty. He's got that, you know, power every once in a while, which is exciting. I don't know. I'm very high on Mike Moustakas for some reason.
He's always got that red man chaw on his mouth. He's ready to go.
He's a manly man.
I love the moose chance, man. Oh. Nothing like a good moose chance.
He'll be hitting 190. 0-4 with 4 Ks, and he'll come up, everyone's moosing.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, they should be booing this guy. But I don't know, the moose chant is great, though.
It's awesome. It's one of my favorite things in the world right now.
Oh, it's fantastic. I just do it, randomly all the time.
There's nothing wrong with that. Do it in the shower, people are like, what the hell? This guy's moosing in the shower.
Do it in public.
Oh, yeah. It's a random moose when you're walking on campus.
Nothing concerns people like a random moose calling.
No doubt.
But... continuing on, left field, Alex Gordon.
A.
A
for me. F in the World Series, but A overall.
Yeah, he definitely disappointed me in the World Series, which is okay because he had some big games against Baltimore.
Here's the thing. I know
his classic defense.
I knew I was going to ask it, but do you send him?
I think No, you don't send. You don't send him. I understand Salvador Perez is coming up. He looks terrible. Game 7 of the World Series, but Brandon Crawford would have had to have made an epically bad throw.
And he's a really good throwing shortstop. He's
for,
a good arm.
Yeah, for Alex Gordon to have been safe. Because Alex Gordon was at third base when Brandon Crawford had the ball.
Yeah.
Which is dead. You're dead in the water.
It would have had to have been offline by 10, 15 yeah. feet.
And even if it was offline a little bit, I think Posey would have had time to readjust and tag him.
Yeah, I think so too.
Look, the question here is, what if he would have sent him and he would have been called out? I feel like that's a worse way to lose than him being stranded at third.
That hurts a lot.
I don't know. For me, that's worse to see him. He's coming home. Oh, he's going to score.
Yeah.
You get tagged out. Oh, that would have been – it was heartbreaking. Don't get me wrong. I almost cried. Or I may have cried. We don't know.
It's okay. It's okay. You can admit.
I wept. There we go. I wept. I'll say that.
That's okay.
I was sad. But I don't think you sent him.
I would agree with you. Now, from a neutral perspective, if Alec Gordon is sent on that play and the throw is, say, like 7 to 9 feet offline, that's one of the most exciting plays in the history of baseball.
Oh, and inside the park home run to tie the world game 7 of the World Series
against a guy that is like from a different planet.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been unbelievable, dude.
One of the best baseball plays ever. But I think Jersey made the right call in holding him. You take Jansen with Salvi. He's done that. He's came up big in those positions before.
Look, I get sending him. But honestly, I think we gotta don't place blame on Mike Jersey, the third base coach. I don't think Gordo got that good of a. He wasn't burning out of the gates, man.
He was not running hard.
When I saw that play, I was like, they were showing the outfield. I was like, oh, Gordo's going to be rounding third. He's going to be good. This is going to be an inside.
I thought he was going to score
because they screwed up big time.
Twice.
Blanco and then Perez.
Yeah.
I was like, Gordo's scoring on this. Then they showed Gordo and he's going to third base with Crawford having the ball. I was like,
yeah.
I'm not going to blame Gordon because. You know, that seems like, I mean, you're not going to be busting it out of there. It looked like a routine ball.
It was like a single. Yeah. Loop single.
Blanco was going to get it. Like, I don't blame him necessarily. But if he would have been burning out of the gates, I think he would have scored.
Yeah. Where we lost that game is when Nori Aoki hit a perfectly placed ball down the left field line, and they were positioned perfectly to make the catch.
Juan Perez took about 6 or 7 steps and easily caught it.
Yep.
That
ball literally was.
And when
on
you
the
think
line.
About it, Bruce Bochy switched Ishikawa for Perez. Hey, who would have known with Ishikawa?
He's not making that catch.
He might not have.
I don't think he's making it.
It was pretty routine, but who knows with Travis Ishikawa out there? Yeah, that's where we lost the game. And hey, at the end of the day, we lost World Series to one of the clutchest October teams I've ever seen, and. We had probably the greatest World Series performance done upon us.
Yeah, definitely up there.
Madison Bumgarner is unbelievable.
He's amazing. Like, you just got to respect the guy.
I want to hate him, and I probably should, but I can't just because he doesn't seem like much of a jackass.
Well, dude, did you see his interview on Jimmy Fallon the other night?
No.
It was, dude, he said pretty much, I'm paraphrasing here, but he's like, that's the toughest team that we as a team have faced throughout these 5 years of running. Wow. And we respected him a lot before the series, but they earned our respect a lot through the series. Like,
that's awesome.
It was really good. I was like, I don't know if I want to watch this, but he was like really gracious and really cool about it.
He makes a good point though. Like, this team, one of the most resilient like teams I've ever seen, dude.
Oh yeah.
It was unbelievable the amount of times they came back or stuck in there and fought, like, even in the regular season.
Yeah. Well, yeah, look at some of the games they won down the stretch to make it.
Mm.
The couple of games against the White Sox that they just randomly pulled out of their butt with, like, the pass balls, running from second base.
Jumping into Gordo.
Amazing, dude. Just, like, in the wild card game, I think just, like, That's the Royals right there.
I mean, after you win a game like that, you're going to believe that you can win it all.
Yeah.
That was big for the Royals.
Yeah. Definitely.
Because I think right there they're like, wow, we could we could definitely do this.
Yeah.
And they definitely showed it against the Angels and the Orioles.
The Angels and the Orioles both won 95 plus games.
And look, we could have beaten the Giants. Deep down, I think we are the better team. They just had the better player.
Yep. And
overall, I mean, when we didn't face Madison, we were better than them.
Oh, their starter's ERA, other than Bumgarner, was over 10.
It's just, you know, I think the game that really, really screwed us was game 4.
We need to have that. That's one we have to have.
Vargas had a nice, pretty nice outing, and then Brandon Finnegan came in and got shelled.
Yeah.
That was one probably the most puzzling game for me and the most puzzling Ned Yost decision.
That was weird. That was a weird one.
I feel like you gotta go with Wade Davis.
Yeah.
In that position, or Kelvin.
Definitely not Brandon Finnegan there. But look, yeah, that the Giants, they're just champions. They win, they know how to get it done. The Royals have nothing to be ashamed about.
It's a shame we had to face them in an even year.
Yeah.
This would have been 2013 or 2015, we would be World Series champs.
Yep.
But definitely. The thing about it is, we're still American League champions. We just broke the longest postseason drought in sports. And there's nothing we should be ashamed about.
I mean, that alone is a great accomplishment for a team. Because for years, they would show graphics, longest postseason drought in North American sports, and the Royals would have it.
We were a joke.
Yep. And that White Sox game where they clinched it at the Cell feels like it was about 2 years ago.
The wild card game seems like it was about 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah. We're doing this on November 5th, and that was about 5 weeks ago.
This was the biggest emotional roller coaster in my entire life.
It was crazy.
I was on a constant high, basically, from the Royals alone.
Yep. Yeah.
But it was just unbelievable. My first October baseball, and I'll never forget it.
Welcome, dude. Welcome to October
baseball,
dude.
Unbelievable. I think it made, you know, I think it was sweeter, obviously, just because this was the first time.
Yes.
And they went on this type of run with these type of games.
Crazy, dude. It's like something that...
I'm gonna pull a Dane Moore, but it was as if we won the World Series this year.
90 feet away,
but honestly... In a small way, we kind of did it.
It was amazing. It was a great year.
No one, every series, we were picked to lose. No one thought we were going to beat the A's. No one thought we were going to beat the Angels.
No.
And people doubted us against Baltimore.
Yeah.
And we made them look silly.
Yeah. It's tough. It really is tough to put into words because it's just such a surreal thing. And it's a 5-6 week period that... in your life that you'll never forget, and you will always think about it as, wow, that was awesome.
I mean, this team, I could not be any more proud of, man.
No.
I will remember all of these players, good or bad players. I'll remember every play. This was just something that you did not expect to happen, and it was just unbelievable.
They did incredible things for the game of baseball.
Yeah.
And the city of Kansas City. Because this city...
And the future of the Royals.
Yes. The city hasn't had the greatest sports history in the last 30 years.
No, sir. No, sir.
And the Royals kind of... I don't know, man. It was just like a surreal experience.
Speaking of other KC sports, how about those Chiefs?
Yeah.
5-3 looking pretty good, in my opinion.
I think
playoff bound.
If we beat Buffalo, I think we're going to make it.
6-3 with... Denver still at home.
And 2 Raiders games left.
And 2 Raiders games.
Well, I think we could beat the Seahawks at home. Boy, they're playing.
Seahawks are not good, and with the way we play at home. Is that a Sunday night game?
No, it's a neuter.
Okay.
Trying to go.
Don't we have a Sunday night game?
Yeah, that's the Broncos one.
Sunday night football, Broncos at home.
Yeah, that's going to be epic, dude. What a year for the Truman Sports Complex.
Oh, unbelievable. And we still have the Chargers at home, too.
Yeah, they look like a mess.
Yeah.
But
so this could be the best year in, potentially, one of the best years in Kansas City sports history. It probably already is.
Chiefs make the playoffs. It's the best in about 25, 30 years.
Yeah, easy.
Best in our lifetime. So, do we want to talk off season, or do we want to just keep going with emotions?
I
got plenty of emotions. I got plenty of off season.
Let's just do both.
All right, let's do both. Let's do it.
Heading into the off season for the Royals, I think people should be excited, very excited, and have some pretty lofty goals for next year.
Yeah.
I think a goal that everyone should have is to make it back to the postseason.
I think this team should get back to win the American League Central.
Exactly.
Personally.
The Tigers, in my opinion, are only getting worse.
Especially if they lose Scherzer and V-Mart.
Yeah. I'm not afraid of the Twins. They're going to be terrible. The White Sox, I'm not afraid of yet. Indians, I think they're pretty average. 84-85 wins again next year, unless they do something big, which they probably won't.
I think I'm a little higher on them than you, but that's just because I think I see their young pitching potential. But that's all it is. It's potential. It's nothing that hasn't materialized yet, except for my boy Corey Kluber. But, I mean, other than that.
With Corey Kluber and Michael Brantley, that's a damn nice base to start from.
Oh, yeah. Good manager.
Yep.
As long as they have Terry Francona, they're always going to be kind of lurking.
They're going to be contending.
Yeah.
They're going to be annoying. They're going to be really annoying for us.
Absolutely.
But I don't understand all these people saying, like, this was our year to do something, as if our window is closed just because we're losing James Shields. James Shields was terrible in the postseason, and we still almost won the World Series.
He had one good start, and the one good start that he had, we lost.
Exactly. I love James Shields. Don't get me wrong. He's one of my favorite players of all time for what he's done for the Royals in his 2 years.
Yeah.
But let's not act like, losing him means we're not going to even make the playoffs.
No, I think playoffs should be.
He was a big part of it. But with the extra revenue from this playoff run, I feel like we could definitely replace him with some starting pitcher. And with our young guys, we can replace him. I'm not worried about the pitching.
I'm not either, because I think Dayton Moore has shown that he can put together a rotation of bullpen.
Exactly. And you don't have to have that great of starting rotation when you have this good of bullpen.
And defense.
Yeah.
All you need is guys that will throw strikes and put the ball in play for your guys to field.
Exactly.
That's what Jason Vargas is. He doesn't strike people out. He just lets his
Jeremy defense. Guthrie, that's how he's been so
good
for us.
He's been pretty good.
Yeah, he's been a lot better than most people, I'm sure, have predicted.
Well, yeah. Like, when he was in Colorado, people were like, this guy is done. This career is over.
Yeah.
And he's come over here and been a really nice, serviceable 3-4 guy for us.
I tell you, for all those Dayton Moore haters, if this postseason run didn't change your mind, think about that trade. He traded Jonathan Sanchez, one of the worst MLB pitchers I've ever seen.
Horrible.
For Jeremy Guthrie, who's been serviceable, if not more, the last 2.5 years for us.
Yeah.
And some of his starts in the postseason, he had a couple of really nice starts.
Yeah, he did.
Big time for us.
I thought he wasn't horrible in Game 7.
No, you can't blame Game 7 on Jeremy Guthrie.
Look, now I hate to rehash it, but the hit pitch where Pablo Sandoval was nicked, that's pretty bad. That's horrible luck.
Yeah.
And the hit that gave them the lead, the Michael Morse little broken back blooper. But
the bloopers, the Giants.
The bloopers. I dog on Dayton as much as the next guy, but I think you have to step back and look at the accomplishment that he's had here with this
remarkable team. Accomplishment. Yeah, it took him a long time to do it.
Yeah.
It was going to take any GM a long time.
And so many GMs never do it.
Yeah.
Ever.
He kept with his philosophy of speed, defense, and pitching, and it got him there.
Yeah. It did. I mean,
this is one of the worst offensive teams that has probably been to the World Series. Maybe
it's up
there. Yeah, top five, I'd guess.
It's up there, no doubt.
Now, we turned it on in the postseason.
Yeah.
But at stretches, it looked as bad as it ever has been.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, against Bum, we looked completely lost.
I don't know. I'm not sure, though, if you put the 27 Yankees out there against Bum, they're doing anything off of him in the zone he was in.
I mean, they would have had a lot better shot.
Yeah. Yeah, no question.
I'm not taking anything away from Bumgarner, but he was facing a pretty atrocious lineup.
Well, average lineup.
Yeah.
No question. Especially the fact that all of our power guys, for the most part, are left-handed.
Yeah.
Just, but Anyway, so starting pitching, right field potentially for free agents.
Yep.
Backup
catcher.
Yeah. Utility guy.
And utility guy.
Those are the needs.
I think we'll probably. I don't know if we'll have the money to get all of them. Backup catcher for me, I would like Francisco Peña.
Why didn't they give him a shot?
To at least be given a shot. I mean, the kid is like 24. He hit over 30 home runs, I'm pretty sure, at AAA this year. And defensively, he's supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they want to give him a shot. We act like Eric Kratz is like the second coming of Johnny Bench or something.
I love Eric Kratz's reactions during some of those playoff games.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's all he was doing was reacting so bad.
Yeah, he was chilling.
You have to give Salvi some rest. And I think next year, one of the main reasons is we're trying to open up the DH position is for Salvador Perez.
Yes. Because
you want to keep his bat. I know he was bad, really bad in the second half and postseason, but he's not that bad.
No.
He's not that bad of a hitter. I think he was just banged up bad from catching pretty much every day.
I mean, I think it all culminated in the last game. He couldn't even walk.
Exactly. Yeah. He was so beaten up the second half of the year and in the postseason that you can't expect much from him.
You knew when he got hit with that pitch, he wasn't coming out of the game. Yeah. But he couldn't walk. He physically could not walk.
He showed some power though with 17 jacks this year.
Yeah. Oh, that's the thing. You need his power.
I would take 280 with 15 jacks.
Yes.
With his defense.
Yes.
I would definitely take that from Salvi.
Sign me up for that. I mean, that's top three catcher in the game.
Oh yeah. Behind
Yadi, Buster, and him, probably.
Russell Martin's up there as well.
Yeah. Definitely. What about Wellington Castillo? Where does he rank in your catchers?
Just right behind John Baker.
Oh, wow. Yikes. Nah, he's horrific. But
honestly, I think a backup catcher is very important. It doesn't sound important, but I think it's very important for this team because we got to give Salvi some rest.
Yeah, I agree totally.
And we can't have Eric Kratz getting a lot of at-bats.
No.
That's why, I would try Francisco Peña, though. Why not?
Give him a shot.
Definitely
give him a shot. See how he looks in spring training. Have him open up with the team, maybe.
Yeah.
And get him in the lineup and see what he can do.
Or if they don't feel confident about him, sign someone.
Yeah. Exactly.
We could get a guy like Giovanni Soto.
Yeah, good defense. Not going to hit, but play
good. He's got some occasional power.
Yeah.
I would like that signing.
Yeah, I mean, he has good defense. Throws out a lot of runners.
Yeah.
And he, like you said, he is for occasional pop. And he's another guy you can stick in there behind the plate and not totally lose.
Exactly, yeah.
Production.
Yeah. Defensively, we won't lose much. And offensively, we won't lose that much compared to what Salvi was in the second half.
Right.
Totally. But backup catcher, I think we will definitely explore that market. Right field, I have no idea.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think we should trade one of the big three, Greg Holland, I think, and try to get some right field help or even third base help. I think Dayton's going to be pretty unwilling to do that.
Yeah.
Especially because he doesn't like giving up pitching at all. But I feel like we saw what killed us in the World Series. If we would have had one power guy, I think we would have won.
Yeah.
Because that's what it takes. Just one swing of the bat, tie ball game.
Yep.
We don't have one of those guys on our team.
No. And like you said, I don't really think he's going to trade one of his three guys.
But I think we could afford to. You trade Holland. You move Wade in the ninth, Calvin to the eighth, re-sign Hochaver for the seventh.
Yeah.
Or even have Finnegan in the seventh if you feel he's going to be a reliever.
I mean, I think Brandon Finnegan is definitely going to break camp with his team next year. Do you think, or do you think he'll start in AAA?
What I think will happen and what I want will happen, what I want to happen, him be starting rotation AAA. Because I think he could be a starter, and I think we kind of need that.
Yeah.
Because I'm very scared about Kyle Zimmer.
Me too.
I love his talent and I love his potential, but his health concerns are pretty concerning.
He just can't stay healthy. It's just that simple.
Which is weird because one of the reasons we picked him was that he had a fresh arm, not too many innings on it.
Yeah.
He was an athletic guy, apparently, and he's had all these injuries with his shoulder.
That just goes back to the point that, and I personally believe this, that pitching is so random, dude. Like, you cannot predict pitching injuries. You have perfect mechanics. Look at Matt Harvey. He has great mechanics, and he gets hurt.
Yeah.
It's just a random throw of the die in terms of pitchers.
Exactly. Some guys that you automatically expect to get hurt, Chris Sale. I mean, he's been hurt. He got hurt this year, but not anything serious.
Yeah.
He's been completely healthy, what, for 4 years?
4 years.
Been completely dominant, too.
I keep expecting his elbow to, like, pop out of his arm and, like...
He weighs, what, like 100, 170 pounds?
I think he's 6'6", 175. Yeah, when he's pitching, I expect his arm to, like, fall off at some point. And he keeps doing his thing.
Pitching injuries are random. I feel like you can't really predict them.
No.
But Kyle Zimmer, hey, if he could stay healthy, ace potential.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely.
The talent is there and the repertoire is there, but his health is definitely not.
Yeah, I mean, people, even as recently as 3 weeks ago down in the Arizona Fall, he said he looked amazing.
Well, he was throwing mid-90s to upper 90s with an incredible curveball.
Yeah.
And a slider and change to go with it.
Yeah. It's a real shame, dude, because I really want to see this kid reach his potential. Look, I hope he does.
Look, he just turned 23. He just had minor shoulder surgery. He'll be out till mid-April, and Dayton Moore said that he won't be able to pitch in games until June. Well, I think you throw him. Hopefully he stays healthy. He comes back. Put him at Omaha in June. Maybe he can come up in August or September for a playoff push.
Yeah.
I think that's the best case scenario.
Oh, so he's not pitching in games until June?
Not until June.
Wow. Let's not talk about that. That's very depressing. But I don't know. I like the future of this organization.
We have pitching depth, and we have great bullpen. And we have pretty nice offensive guys to build on.
Yeah.
We got some guys signed to nice long-term deals, too. We got Salvi for the next, like, 4 or 5 years. We got Eske signed for the next couple years. Got to get Kane a deal, I feel like. That's another priority.
Got to do it now.
I would sign him to a nice 4 or 5 year deal.
Yeah.
He's 28. Let's sign him up for his prime years. And see what he turns into, because I think the ceiling's pretty high with him.
Yeah.
I don't think he's reached his ceiling yet.
No.
And defensively, he's just one of the best.
I mean, he has his defensive raw skills are just something that you cannot teach.
And he's so new to baseball.
Yeah.
That he's still learning. Like, he's only been playing baseball for a little over a decade.
Yeah. That's amazing to think about.
So this kid, I think, could definitely turn into a pretty nice hitting outfielder with power.
We want to get him a deal before he hits the open market.
Yeah.
Because if he had a year like he had last year, he might work himself out of the range we have in terms of money.
But next year you're looking at Gordo in left, solid.
Oh, yeah.
I think you could even expect possibly a bounce back year from him at the plate.
A little higher average.
Yeah.
He carried this team a lot, but last couple weeks of the year, And a lot of the playoffs too, man. He was like, his shoulders were like, I'm carrying the guys. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that I think if we get another bat in here, that will help everyone else.
Take some pressure off.
It helps everyone else.
Look, Gordo's 30. He's going to be 31 in February, but with the physical condition that he's in, I'm not really worried about regression yet. I don't think we're going to start talking about Gordo regressing until at least 33, 34 years old.
You need to add an extra year and a half, 2 years onto his prime because of the physical shape he's in.
He's in unbelievable shape. He's never injured.
No.
He's an Iron Man.
And some of the the catches that he makes when he runs into these walls, you're like, he's got to be hurt after this. Well, he pops he's up and he's
muscle.
Fine.
He's pure muscle, man.
Yeah, it's like wall hitting wall with him. Oh. He's just pure muscle.
He's like Channing Tatum out there.
Yes, that's just
a ripped physique.
Royals movie. He's definitely Channing Tatum. He's the main guy.
Or Ryan Gosling.
Yeah,
maybe Ryan Gosling.
Ladies love him, man.
Yeah, exactly. So you got Gordo in left, who just won his fourth straight Gold Glove.
Is Alex Gordon's number going to be retired by the Royals? I say yes. If he has three more pretty good years, four more pretty good years.
Oh, easily, I think. Easily. If he just continues on this trajectory and plays, and if he's a lifetime Royal for sure.
Yeah.
Which I really hope we can do. I'm not for sure if we will.
Yeah.
Because he's going to command a lot of money. We have him this year, and then we have an option for 16. We'll see how long we can keep him. Hopefully he stays here with a nice hometown discount. But, hey, he's got over 1,000 hits.
Yeah.
Four Gold Gloves already. A couple All-Star appearances. I think by the end of his career, if he plays, let's see, 5 or 6 more years, which I think he could definitely play.
Yeah, at a pretty high level.
Oh, yeah. I think we're looking at over 2,000 hits. I think we're looking at 250 home runs, potentially, and 7 Gold Gloves.
If he does that, then he's
7 or 8 Gold Gloves.
4 or 5 Royal ever.
Yeah. He's one of the better left fielders of all time.
Yeah. And it's crazy. To me, that'd be one of the greatest sports in baseball, or greatest stories in baseball history.
Oh.
Came up with incredible expectations. Didn't meet them. Went back down, figured things out, switched positions, and is a top 5 left fielder in the game.
Yeah, switched positions and is defensively the best in the game.
Yes, definitely.
At his new position.
Yeah. Whole new position. I don't know if you've read, there's like a really good article that Andy McCullough ran, like, I think it was like actually before the playoffs started. It was like kind of about what he had to do, Alex Gordon had to do to learn left field.
Oh, really?
And he basically did was he went out there and he had someone hit him fly balls for like 8 hours a day and just learn it for like 3 months during the offseason.
Hey, I think Gordon is just an unbelievable athlete. I mean, switching third to left just shows you right there. But I think you also got to give some credit to Rusty.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
He is the outfielder's coach, and he's done absolute wonders with Lorenzo Cain, Jerod Dyson, and obviously Gordon.
I don't know. We watched the clincher against the Orioles.
Yeah.
And when they interviewed Rusty Kuntz, that's the happiest I think I've seen anyone.
Oh, I think he's a big, big part of this team.
He was
in the clubhouse and the dugout. It's really good to have a guy like Rusty in there. He's always positive.
No, he's never bad. Never bad vibes.
Exactly.
From him, man.
Yeah, I love Rusty.
He's great for like young players.
Yep.
Like, dude, you could just tell.
I'll say it. I love Rusty Kuntz.
You should, man. You should get a shirt.
I love Rusty Kuntz.
You need to get a shirt that says that.
The shirt I do want is the Super Kane shirt,
though. I want one of those, too.
If Royals fans, if you haven't seen this shirt, look it up. Super Kane. It's an incredible-looking shirt. I'm definitely going to be trying to get that.
The good folks over at Royals Review made those, right?
It was on Royals Review, yeah. Some company that Royals Review was trying to promote.
Promoting.
Yeah.
No, those shirts were cool. They had a lot of really cool... Some of the gear that Royals fans came up with.
Oh.
Not the gear.
I like the Can-Do, the K-A-N-D.
That one's cool.
Can-Do. There was incredible gear out there, and I've been trying to get some.
Yeah. I totally agree. I bought, like, an SI cover. I was lucky enough to go to one of the games.
Two
of the games. One of the World Series games. Top 5 moment of my life, personally, but we won't get into that. Just crazy, man. Like, I've been in Kansas City for, like, about 8-9 years. I've been to probably 50 Royals games and probably 10 Chiefs games, and I've been around the city. Nothing. This fall, nothing came close. It was like a different place. It wasn't Kansas City.
I mean, the energy, even in Columbia, Missouri, where we are.
Yeah.
The energy here, I mean, the Royals fans were unbelievable. Just so much hype around the Royals here.
Now, I'll ask you this in hindsight. Do you wish we would have played the Cardinals? Because I think we would have beat them.
Before the series, World Series, I said, I don't want to play them.
Yeah.
But after, I think we should have. I think we matched up better with them, and I think we would have beaten them. I think we could have beaten them in 5 or 6.
Me too. Because
they just don't have an ace, really.
No, they don't have that guy.
Wainwright is usually an ace, but he was not in the postseason.
No,
we could have beaten Adam Wainwright.
And
all we had to do was beat their ace once.
And if you think about it, Yadier Molina was out.
Yeah,
and we would have ran all over Tony Cruz.
Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah, me too. I was in the same boat. I was like, oh, I don't want to play these guys. Like,
I think that was the only way the season could have been just a major disappointment was if the Royals made it and then we lost to the Cardinals.
That would hurt a lot, man.
But I feel like me and you, we both have a lot more hate for the Cardinals than a lot of Royals fans do. And Cardinals fans, for sure.
Yes.
Cardinals fans were rooting pretty actively, at least around here, for the Royals, which just amazes me because I would never do that for them.
I would not, ever.
Which probably shows that I'm less of a man and probably a coward, but I will take that.
We're both bad people. So
I love the Royals, and in my mind, if you're a Royals fan, you despise the Cardinals.
Yeah.
But that's just my opinion.
No, you're right.
And it's kind of, I think it's sad that more people don't share that view, because I think it would be a lot. I understand we only play them, what, 4 times a year?
That's 6. 2 3-game series, but still.
Okay.
Still, it's only 6 games.
We only
played
them in.
Oh, that is right. It's only 2
it's
and 2.
It's a 2-2, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you're right.
4 straight.
Yep, you're right.
And went 3-1 against them this year.
Yep, I remember that game.
So we won the series. Could have won the 4th game. I remember that game.
That was when we started to get hot on our first streak in June.
Yeah.
When we won, like, what, 10 games in a row? We swept the Tigers?
Yeah, that was, wasn't that around when Dale Swain was hired?
Yeah, that was the week.
The Blue Jays. Didn't we play, like, the Blue Jays?
Played the Blue Jays. Fired Grafal, I think. Didn't we demoted him or something?
Yeah. Yeah, for some reason we demoted him and he's still in our organization.
I never get that.
Just unbelievably concerning to me that he's still in our organization teaching our young guys how to hit.
Yeah.
Or not hit for that point. What were we talking about?
We were talking about a lot of random things. We were talking about the Cardinals.
Okay, yeah. Back to that point. If you're a Royals fan, you've got to hate them.
Yeah.
You've got to hate them, man.
Yeah, no, I think you do.
I understand they're run well and they're a premier organization.
You know who's run better? The San Francisco Giants.
Exactly. If you're going to respect any franchise, then it's the Giants, in my opinion.
The Cardinals are there.
Look, I despise the Giants because they beat us, but you have to respect them. And they don't have that many hateable players on their team.
They have one, maybe.
Who?
Hunter Strickland.
Oh, yeah, but he's not.
He's not good, anyway.
Yeah. Panda is not really.
I understand the hate for Panda from people. Dude, I love him, but.
I don't hate him, I don't love him. But wow, he is good.
He's good, man. He's really good.
Really good hitter. That's going to be an interesting story going into free agency. Do you think he's going back to San Fran? Because there's a lot of teams that need third basemen, and third basemen are in high demand.
Yeah.
Because there's not that many good ones.
Yeah. If you're the Giants, I don't know why you wouldn't pay the guy, personally.
Exactly. Especially the way Brian Sabian rewards his guys, like Marco Scudero.
Oh, that's a horrible contract.
Aaron Rowan.
Tim Lincecum?
Yeah. Even? I mean, just, he's made some ridiculous deals. If you're going to pay anyone, it should be Panda.
I think if you're the Giants, you have to pay him, but I don't know if they're going to.
Look, I could see him going to the Yankees.
Yeah.
They need third base help if they don't sign back Chase Headley.
What do you think about A-Rod?
I could see him going to the Red Sox.
Do you think he's going to be with the Yankees?
I mean, I can't see him anywhere else. I don't know what other team would
do you think
get
he,
him.
Yeah, do you think if he is by the Yankees, do Do you think he's going to be serviceable? Because I don't.
I think, I don't know. I mean, at his age, I think defensively he's going to be a huge liability.
Yeah.
Offensively, I think he'll put up decent numbers, honestly, just because that ballpark and
yeah,
he is still an incredible talent.
Yeah,
PEDs or not.
Yeah, no question.
I mean, I think by decent numbers, I'm saying like 250, 260 with like 20 to 25 jacks, maybe.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I think, dude, for the Yankees, he's just a big pain in the ass.
Huge.
He's very expensive, still.
Yeah.
And he's not very good.
No,
probably,
I mean,
anymore. And he's just a clubhouse. It's got to be a clubhouse.
Nobody.
Nightmare.
Yeah, nobody in that clubhouse wants Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah, no one wants that. No one wants to hang out or chill with A-Rod. He's one of the biggest D-bags in
yeah.
sports history.
Yeah.
I mean,
tell you one thing.
My favorite A-Rod is the commercial with him looking at himself in a mirror. Have you ever seen that?
I have not. What is this for? What is this? What product is it for?
I don't remember what it was for, but it's just like, it's just him staring at himself in a mirror.
Wow, I need to see this.
Oh, it was very concerning, very odd. It gave me nightmares. It was terrible.
That's amazing. I think one thing, I don't want to spend too much time on Alex Rodriguez, but one thing that I think will help A-Rod if he is with the Yankees is the no Jeter.
Yeah.
Because obviously that didn't work. They brought him in thinking, okay, Jeter and A-Rod are going to be good. They're going to have good chemistry. That left side of the infield is going to be fine. They hated each other. They didn't get along.
Well, I think that's just goes to show you the two type of people they are. Jeter is hardworking, you know, kind of...
Keep to yourself.
Yeah, like respect baseball. And Jeter and A-Rod is the exact opposite.
Yeah.
He's showy, arrogant. You know, and he clearly doesn't respect baseball because he cheated.
No, absolutely.
And I think that kind of just completely ended it for Jeter.
Yeah, to those of you out there that hate Alex Rodriguez or hate anyone that used steroids, get over it. Everyone did it back then.
It happened.
It
still happens.
Yeah.
It's a part of the game, and it's probably going to be... It's almost impossible to completely eradicate.
Yeah. I think
the reason, though, that people hate A-Rod so much is not because of his, you know, PED use.
Right.
I think it's because people really used to like him because
yeah.
he was so good and exciting.
With Seattle and Texas.
And people, like, it with him cheating and using PEDs, it kind of took that away, man. It was a big, you know, it burst the people's bubble about him
yeah.
big time because I used to love him.
He was fun, dude.
When he was with the Rangers and he was young, and then even his early years with the Yankees, like...
He was really fun to watch.
He was one of the best players of all time.
Yeah.
When he was, you know...
Oh, yeah, you take away...
He was still incredible. He
yeah.
wasn't using PEDs when he was in Seattle or
no.
Texas.
No.
Maybe the later years of Texas, but...
I don't know. It's a real shame, though. I mean, I wish he wouldn't have done it, obviously.
Yeah.
Kind of like Barry Bonds, I don't think he needed to take steroids. But, I mean, people need to get over it. Like, it happened. People cheated. There was a steroid error for, like, it was uniform. Over 90% of players used. Like,
yeah, and the thing that saddens me is that people, I think, enjoyed that era a lot more
yes.
than this era.
Yes.
People just are enamored by home runs, and I guess because I'm a Royals fan, I love home runs. I'm not, you know, I dig the long ball as much as the next guy.
Chicks do too.
Chicks love the long ball. But it's not like a necessary part of the game for me.
No.
And I think the Royals showed you this year that you don't need it. It's great to have, don't get me wrong. It's great to have, but you can win in different ways.
Yeah, there's more than... I mean, that was another beautiful thing about this run is I'm in the sabermetrics camp as much as anybody. But this showed you that there's another answer. There's another way to build a team other than just, like, on-base percentage and power.
There are certain things that these sabermetric heads and all these statisticians, you can't, you know... group these things or, you know, show them as stats. You can't do, you know, analyze these things. Some things like, you know, just clubhouse morale or...
That is a thing. I mean...
Belief. Dude, this Royals team believed. Talent-wise, they might have been the worst in the playoffs overall.
They're definitely in the lower tier.
Yeah. Well, what teams... I mean, Nationals, talent-wise...
Much better.
Giants, probably better.
Better.
Orioles,
better.
Angels, for sure.
Definitely better.
Oakland A's...
Similar, but just because of the Samardzija lesser rotation, I would have to say Oakland.
Pirates.
Probably better.
The Royals are better?
No.
The Pirates, yeah. And then Cardinals, I think we might be better than the Cardinals.
Yeah, from a pure talent maybe. Perspective.
Close.
That could be the only close. Team.
Yeah.
Dodgers, not close.
Well, yeah, I mean, hey, I've come around to sabermetrics a little bit. I do enjoy some of the stats. I think they're, you know, important and, you know, good to base your decisions on. But, I mean, you can't gauge everything.
No.
These guys act like they can figure out baseball. That's what I think is hilarious about them is that they think it's such a science that you can figure it out. You can, you know, this guy's going to do this. You can project everything.
Yeah.
No, you can't. You cannot do it because it's so random. Look at this Royals run. That proved you right here that you can't project and gauge everything.
Yeah, no, all sabermetrics, the goal is to get the percentages on your side to give you a better chance to win than the opponent. And, it's a chance. It's just a number.
Look, I love that. I think it's cool that, like, they try to do that. And I think it's – some of the stuff they do is great.
Yeah.
But – I mean, you just can't predict it.
There's no formula that will.
And defensively, there aren't that many. The system is flawed.
Oh, they're already talking about the redoing the whole defensive metric.
Exactly. Yeah. Like defensively, they can't gauge it. Like to show you how random it is, Danny Duffy.
Yeah.
People were saying he was going to regress all year.
Yeah.
All year because he had a what high FIP?
FIP. His ex-FIP was a little high.
His ex-FIP was out of control.
It was a little high.
But. Look, he had a 2.53 ERA for an entire major league season.
Yeah. I mean, I love FIP as much as the next guy.
Is he going to regress from that? Yes. But that's because it's a 2.53 ERA.
Yeah.
And he's not, you know.
Yeah. No, I mean.
Clayton Kershaw or Felix Hernandez.
I love FIP as much as the next guy, but if you value FIP over earned run average, that's a little messed up.
And his BABIP was high.
Yeah.
Or low.
I like that stat a lot more than FIP. Personally,
so his BABIP was low because the balls that they did put in play
were not hits. But
that's BABIP for anyone that doesn't
right batting average on balls in play. That's what it stands for.
Look, that's more
it's defense.
That's a D. Yeah, that's because our defense is incredible. You exactly. put him in play against our defense, especially Duffy, who is statistically a fly ball pitcher.
Yeah,
anything in our offense is going to be caught.
Yeah. No, that's the thing what I thought was...
So is he going to regress that much? Same defense behind him?
No. I mean, I don't think...
And he's got good stuff. It's not like he's throwing, you know, 88-mile-per-hour fastballs.
That's what people who cover baseball, they don't watch the Royals in July or August.
You could clearly tell that by the postseason coverage. The people, the analysts knew nothing and made just horrible assumptions.
I'll tell you who was the best analyst I saw in the whole postseason coverage was Pedro Martinez.
Pedro loved us. Pedro Martinez is one of my favorite players of all time.
Me as well.
It was a joy to watch him pitch. He was fun.
Unreal.
And exciting. I think he's hilarious. And he was one of the best of all time.
He was in his swing when we were like super young. We were just starting to get into it. We were like, wow, this guy is fun.
I was like, this is awesome. This guy is like one of my favorite players.
Yeah.
And that's why I think I enjoy Yordano Ventura so much.
Yeah.
Yordano Ventura, I feel like people are just so scared, like, talking about Yordano and his future and everything, because everyone expects him to get injured. Is he going to? Maybe. Probably.
Yeah.
But let's enjoy it.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone is so, like, standoffish about Yordano just because he got injured a couple times this year, very minor stuff.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, look at the year he had.
Look at the game he threw against the Giants in the World Series.
Yeah, game six, huge spot, rookie, 23 years old, and he doesn't give up a run.
We could have scored two runs. We scored 10. We could have scored two runs, we would have won that game. He would have brought a shot.
I think Yordano Ventura needs to be talked about more.
Yeah.
For you Royals fans, I understand being cautious about him and, you know, tampering expectations because he's so small and he throws so hard, and I understand it because that scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, me too.
Because we need Yordano to be healthy if we want to make
another run like this.
Yeah, nice. If we want to have like a 5-year run of a good time.
Contention.
Yeah, contention. We need Yordano to be there and healthy. But hey, just enjoy it while he pitches, you know?
Yeah.
He's 23. He throws 100 miles an hour. He's exciting. Just, hey, I love Yordano Ventura.
Yeah. He was unbelievable, man. The expectations for me for him were not even close to what he was this year.
I thought he would have high 3, low 4 ERA.
Yeah.
Be very inconsistent, you know, have one game where you throw 8 shutout innings and then the next get shelled.
Yeah.
But he was very consistent. 3.20 ERA. You know, not as many Ks as I'd like to see, but I think that's just because people make so much swing so much against him.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of foul balls and
I wish he would learn to do one thing, and that is not throw a fastball in 1-2 counts, 0-2 counts. In the zone.
I want him to learn that, and I want him to learn to attack hitters, certain hitters especially. Because he will strike out, you know, a guy like Pablo Sandoval or Buster Posey, but then he'll you know, be up 0-2 against a guy like Juan Perez and walk him.
Yeah, Gregor Blanco.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was awesome.
I think that shows you how good he was and is going to be, because he had a 3.20 ERA and he didn't strike out as many people as I thought, and I think he will because of his stuff. And he walked a lot of guys too because he just plays around with guys sometimes.
Yeah.
I think he's confident in his stuff. He knows he has good stuff and he knows he can get out of jams.
Yeah.
So if he, you know, if he puts a couple guys on, he still feels like, all right, I can strike out the next 3 guys if I need to.
The stuff, it will never be an issue with him.
His curveball, man. His curveball is, when it's on, is one of the best.
When he has his curveball working and he's spotting his 97.
Almost unhittable.
You have no chance. I mean, I hate to bring up a game 6 again, but that's what that was. The Giants are a great lineup and know how to hit, and they had no chance.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that, Yordano Ventura is like the main reason why I think this team has a nice 3-4 year window to compete.
Yep. There's like 5 key guys that are massive if we want to keep this contention going. Yordano Ventura.
Yeah.
Lorenzo Cain.
Yep.
Hosmer.
Gotta be in there.
Salvador Perez, for sure.
Yeah. He's a key.
And I would even throw like Kelvin Herrera in there or.
Well, yeah.
A young pitcher like Kyle Zimmer or Brandon Finnegan.
Definitely. We'll end on this question, and I knew I was going to ask you.
Uh-oh.
Is Billy Butler in a Royals uniform next year?
I'll start with this. If he isn't in a Royals uniform, it will be extremely, extremely sad for me, because I'm one of the biggest Billy Butler fans and supporters.
Had a really nice postseason, by the way.
Had a nice postseason. I think it's almost laughable how mean and negative some Royals fans and media are about him. Look, I feel like he's not fast. He will never be fast. He never was fast.
It's not his game.
Okay, so if you expect, I don't understand people that keep harping on this. He's never going to be fast or faster.
True, definitely.
He tries, though. It's not like it's a lack of effort. He's chugging,
man. Chugging, dude.
And he scored a couple times this postseason from first.
Yeah.
He got home. Number two, he has regressed a lot at the plate. But the guy is 28. He's 28 years old. He's still got time to figure this out, potentially. I don't know. I feel like people are way too negative about him. You look at some of the years he had when he was 24, 25, young stud.
And on some bad teams.
Bad teams, man. Bad teams with no protection in the lineup.
He was out there.
He was hitting 318. He was hitting 27 jacks, 29 jacks. He was one of the best players, one of the best hitters in baseball for a 4 or 5 year stretch.
Billy has one, has two tools that are above average. Hit, and I think he still has a pretty good hit for power tool. I think it's there.
Yeah, it's definitely there.
The dude is just a natural hitter. When he's in, when he's on,
it's beautiful.
He pops him, dude. He's a doubles machine.
Yeah. He's got a beautiful swing. He's just got a... get his timing down, I guess. His bat speed seems to be slowing down, which is kind of concerning since he's 28. But I feel like he's not a lost cause.
No.
I hope we bring him back at a very cheap deal, which I think he would give us a nice cheap deal.
Oh, yeah, he said he would.
And, you know, limit his at-bats. You know, play him every once in a while. I want the DH position for the Royals next year to be, you know, a revolving door.
Yes.
Of players. You want Salvi in there. You want, you know, Gordo in there a couple times.
Yeah.
Just to rest him, you know. You want Billy in there, obviously, and hopefully we get another bat. Yeah, we get another guy that can be there in right field, hopefully.
So who are your top three teams that Billy Butler, if you had to put money on it, would be on in 2015?
These are my three. The Mariners.
Yeah, they have a love affair with him.
Infatuated with him, and they need right-handed power badly.
I think for the Mariners, it comes down to simply Billy Butler or Michael Morse, whichever one they want.
Apparently, Baltimore is pretty in on him.
They love him. They love Billy Butler.
They're probably expecting to lose Nelson Cruz then, and the Royals. So I think those are my three teams that I could see him on.
Yeah.
I think it's going to have to be an AL team.
Yeah, he has to be a DH.
Even though this year he did show he could be, you know, average over there first.
When he filled in for Haas, he was fine.
Yeah. And he hit better.
He did hit better.
I think what would be best for him is an NL team.
You think NL team?
And the NL team giving him a shot to play defense and be an all-around player, because I think his numbers are better when he's an all-around player. They showed it this year.
I think he could be very similar to, like, Matt Adams.
Yeah. I think, you know, a team I would love to see him on, and this is probably just because I'm selfish, but the Padres.
Yeah.
We need first base help, because Yonder Alonso is terrible. And we need power. And I think he would be great in that ballpark, because he's a doubles machine, like you were saying, and the gaps are huge.
Yeah.
Is he going to hit a lot of home runs? No, he's going to hit probably 10 to 15.
But for the Padres.
But he's going to be hopefully hitting 290, 300 with a bunch of doubles. Yeah. With RBIs. They need a run producer out there. And, you know, I'll add them to the list. That's my 14.
I mean, if they think that he can stick at first, they should be inquiring.
Look, he's going to hurt you sometimes, but you hope that his bat makes up for it.
And I think the good thing about that is if you look at the Padres, Jed at second will cover a lot of ground over there.
So Everett Cabrera at short is a stud.
Exactly. Like, they have guys in the infield that will cover the ground and do the work that Billy can do. All he has to do is kick balls.
And the pitchers are great. So
yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Is that where we want to end things here?
Hey. I think this is a good ending point.
We got it out. We got all the emotions out.
It felt good. It felt good to do.
Yeah.
Talk about this team.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for next year, man.
Yeah.
I can't wait for this free agency to heat up. I'm excited to see what GMDM does.
Yeah, I think you have a lot of options. I think this team could improve by a couple wins next year if he pulls the right string.
Hey, the American League Central is definitely in play, in my opinion.
Absolutely. So we'll be back probably in a couple weeks to deal with some off-season stuff. Talk, obviously, Boys in Blue. And also mention a little team on the north side that might be gearing up for some contention.
Little Joe Maddenites.
Yeah.
Fighting Joe Maddens.
Let's get them.
You know what? Let's not end it. I want to talk about this for a little
bit. Sure, yeah.
Let's keep it going.
Let's do it.
All the listeners are like, Jesus Christ, I thought I could say I listened to it and be done. Stick with us. So, Joe Madden goes to the Cubbies for 5 years, $25 million. Give me your reaction. You've got to be on top
of it. Thrilled. This was a part of the plan for Theo Epstein that I think just like fell out of the sky in his lap.
Yep. I think Theo definitely believed that he was going to do it with Rick Renteria.
Yeah.
He was like, all right, this is my guy.
It's not who I really want, but we're going to have to keep rolling.
With our talent, hopefully we could do it.
Yeah. And I think what that did was I think it kind of accelerated the contention by a year.
Oh, yeah.
I think it went from 2016 to right now.
Yep.
Because I don't think we spend money on all these guys if we don't bring in Joe Madden.
Joe Madden is definitely a game changer. I think it makes you a better team already, and I think it could influence free agency a lot because players are going to want to come play for him.
Definitely.
People love Joe Madden, especially players.
Yep.
So this could definitely help you in free agency.
Yeah. I'm very excited about the future of the Cubs.
Hey, you know, you got a lot of money to spend. If you get John Lester and you get a second-tier pitcher and potentially Russell Martin, that's a wild-card team in my opinion.
We
can
flirt with it, definitely.
Because,
we can be there.
I mean, it's not like you guys are completely barren.
No.
You've got Anthony Rizzo, who's a star.
Yeah.
31 jacks this year?
36.
Wow. You got Starlin Castro, he's pretty nice.
Hit 290 with 15 homers. He didn't even play the whole last
You had Russell Martin in there. Jorge Soler looked amazing.
Great on base, good power, which is perfect.
Chris Bryant at third, which I think he will break camp.
I think he will, but I kind of hope
he
doesn't.
I think he should, man, because I think next year you guys could definitely be in talks, man, for playoffs.
That's what I'm saying. That's the
most. Look. Don't worry about 6 years from now.
No.
You guys are trying to win, man.
We shouldn't be worried about Chris Bryant's arbitration by 1 year holding that up.
Is it probably more baseball smart to hold him down there until, what, is it June, around June?
It's like June 2nd.
And get another year? Yeah, probably. But I think Theo's getting kind of fed up of losing.
Yeah.
He doesn't like to lose.
No,
he's endured a lot of it so far.
The last 4 years have been brutal.
So I think he's thinking next year is definitely a year where you guys can make the playoffs.
And that's another thing with an impact of Madden is if we don't get Joe Madden, I don't think Chris Bryant breaks camp. I think we're like, okay, we'll see what we do this year.
This is still going to be another rebuilding.
Yeah, we'll be like 78 wins. But this, once again, I think it changes the whole dynamic of the team.
I mean, you just think of the squad. It's got the talent. John Lester, Jake Arrieta.
Yeah.
That's one of the best 1-2s in baseball.
That's very good. It's very good.
You add Kyle Hendricks, who I think could be a nice four.
Yeah.
And then you hopefully go out and get another guy, maybe, you know, Edison Volquez, Brandon McCarthy, that type of second tier guy. That's a nice, nice rotation.
With
nice potential in the bullpen. You guys got some nice arms out there.
Rorty's really figured it out towards the last 5 or 6 outings. He pitched a lot better.
Pedro Strop.
Hector Rendon is a really nice arm to have out there.
Neil Ramirez.
He's got explosive stuff, dude. We were 50-45 in our last 95 games.
The team, so, I think people are going to be surprised by this team, depending on what you do in free agency. But
yeah,
I think you could definitely be players in the NL Central next year.
Definitely the most excited I felt about the Cubs in my lifetime.
Oh, I mean, with Joe Madden, you got to be very confident in your ability to at least make it to a World Series the next 5 years.
Look, if this doesn't work, there's legitimately something wrong with the Cubs. Like,
if you guys,
supernatural thing.
I will say this. If you don't make it to a World Series in the next 5 or 6 years, then you guys are legitimately cursed.
No, we have no hope. And because that's the other thing. We have no hope. Forward.
The amount of talent that you've stacked in your minor league system and the amount of talent that you have at the major league level and could potentially add, you're going to have a very good team with probably multiple postseason runs. So,
And if
you add John Lester, one of the greatest postseason pitchers of all time.
And he was, dude, this year John Lester was so good.
Yeah.
And you, in the American League, you put him in the NL.
And then you're not even talking about your C.J. Edwards and Pierce Johnson, your two young
pitching prospects. If one of those guys works out, it's Cause
which I like. I like both of them, so I think one of them will work out.
Yeah.
And you don't need him to be a stud if you have John Lester and Jake Arrieta.
Definitely.
Be a number three.
Yeah, we'll be fine with it. With exactly. Hendricks as a four.
And I think C.J. Edwards has two potential, and Pierce Johnson has two potential.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%. Next 5 years are going to be a good time for the Royals and the Cubs.
Hey, you know who else, speaking of what we're going to be talking about next podcast, you know it was coming. My Marlins have started officially negotiations with Giancarlo Stanton to keep him as a Marlin for life. Hashtag Marlin for life.
Get it trending, Twitter.
Hashtag Marlin for life, Giancarlo.
I'm going to let you end this episode by taking a victory lap on your Marlins prediction. So I'm out. We'll see you next time. I'll let Don take over for the last minute here to tell all of you he was right, because he was dead right.
Look, my name is Dominic Asta, and I was completely and utterly right with my prediction that the Marlins were going to be very competitive and in playoff talk. They were in playoff talk for most of the season.
You were there.
I called it. I was right, but I was also very wrong on some picks.
Yeah, we messed up. We messed up a lot.
We were dead right on some, and we were dead wrong on a couple others. But we'll talk about that more on the next podcast. I'm signing off. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. Follow us at Baseball Boys.
Yes,
on Twitter,
on Facebook as well. To those of you that are unfortunate enough to actually know us in real life, we'll throw that up on Facebook.
Shout out to my mom and my sister and my granny.
Those are good shout outs. I have no shout outs for anyone. This is the end.